I'm going to be over in Joshua, the 17th chapter, starting with the 12th verse. How many of you here want to be a better you in 2013, right? Amen. We do, don't we? We want to be better. We want to do what God wants us to do, and there's no doubt in our mind, we want to be better. I'll raise my hand because I know I want to be better, but I want to talk about some things here in a little bit. And I believe how that these scriptures that I'm going to read is going to help us to see how that we can be better, how that we can serve and do what God wants us to do if we're just obedient to Him. Joshua, 17th chapter, 12 through 18. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord has blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill was not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her town, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even unto Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have armed chariots, and though they be strong. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning for this opportunity again, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that, Father, you know, knowing that you are a great God, knowing that you care so much for us, that you sent your Son to die upon a cross, Lord, we want to praise you for that this morning. We want to thank you, Father, for that. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to be with this service here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd use it for your glory, for your honor, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Look at yourself this morning. Look in the seat that you're sitting in this morning. There's three people sitting in that seat this morning with you. And this is not some kind of a weight joke or anything like that. I want you to understand there's three people sitting with you this morning. The first person is who that you are at the moment that you're sitting there right now. That's the first person that's sitting there. If you look at yourself this morning, it's who exactly you are this morning. The sitting there is what you are as of right now. That's who you are. Amen? That's what you are. You know what? Whether or not you're serving God, whether or not what you're doing, that's who you are this morning as we're sitting there. The second person that is sitting there today is the person who could do great evil. And you may look at me and think I'm nuts for that, but you know what? You are a person sitting in that seat today that could do great evil. You know, there's no one knows just what you're capable of. You don't know what you're capable of. Until you get your eyes off of Jesus, then you could find out just what you are capable of. There's no sin of the flesh that you're not capable of committing if you take your eyes off Jesus. Amen? You are not. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't think for a moment this morning that you know yourself. If you take your eyes off Jesus, you do not know who you are. Amen? You do not know. Luke 11:24, I think, spells it out very good for us. 11:24 through 26. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house, whence I come, I come out of. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he in, and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. If you take your eyes off Jesus, you do not know what you're capable of I want you to understand that this morning. If a person gets seven times worse than what they were, I'm going to tell you what, this old boy don't want to go back. Do you understand what I'm saying? I do not want to go back. You know, even if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you right now, you cease to abide in Him and take your eyes off Him, you would be amazed at the potential evil that is lurking within your heart this morning. Believe you me, I've got some more of this to go on with here a little bit, and I'm going to get to the third person who I want to talk about. But I want you to understand something about this morning. You have no idea what you're capable of until you get away from it. Look at, you don't have to turn there, but over in 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, the 7th through the 15th verse, and I'm going to go down through this and touch on this a little bit to prove a point to you. There was a man over there by the name of Hazael, H-A-Z-E-L. And what he was a servant for the king of the Syrians. And what had happened, Elijah had come there to prophesy to them about, so this king was sick. And this king had sent this Hazael out to ask Elijah, you know, whether or not he was going to get better or not. I'll let you read all this. Get a chance to go home. You can read this and see if I'm not telling you right. He goeth out, and he goes out there to see him. Whenever Hazael stands before Elijah, and he's standing there, Elijah starts to weep when he looks at him. Elijah fixes his eyes on his Hazael. He's just a servant, and he fixes his eyes on him. And you know what? He gets there to end. What it says, I want to read down through it a little bit, 7 down through 15. And the king anointed the Lord of whose hand he had learned to have chained to the gates. And it came to pass, the man of God had taken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley. And Elijah came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thy hand and go and meet the man of God and will inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And he goes on to say, Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, and even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burdened, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elijah said unto him, go say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die. And he settled his countenance steadfastly until this man was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepest thou, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will thou set on fire, their young men will thou slay and with a sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with children. And Hazael said, and this is what people, but Hazael said, but what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do great things? And Elijah answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. This man went out there with intentions to do good for his king. Elijah looked upon him and knew that the evil that he was capable of and what he would do, and I'll tell you, if you read on down in there what he done, he ended up taking a blanket and making it wet and putting it over the king's mouth and smothering him, killing him. And here he said just a little bit before, what do you think I am, some kind of dog? I would never do anything like that. And if you read on down through the scripture, that's exactly what that man did. He did the evil that Elijah said. This man thought that he was not capable of doing what he did, and he did it. So I want you to know something right now, brothers and sisters. You don't know what you're capable of doing. Much evil is sitting in that seat with you this morning. There is much evil sitting there with you if you take your eyes off Jesus. There is much evil. The third person that I want to talk to you about this morning that is sitting in your seat this morning, there's an individual capable of great love, great faith, great works that you could achieve for Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you about that person this morning. As God, through His Son Jesus, wants us to be, so many of us, including me, are not all we could be or ought to be. I want God to grant that for us this morning. Amen? I don't want us to be that second person. That's why I was so long in trying to describe that we are capable of as human beings. If nothing else, we can see that in things that have happened out here. Human beings are capable of great evil. And don't think for a moment this morning that you're not capable of that yourself. if you turn your back on God. These people in our scripture that I read there this morning today, the ones over in Joshua, the people of Manasseh will be, and I want them to be an illustration of what we should do and what we should be for Jesus Christ if we want to be that third person. That person that is full of great love. That person that is full of great things to do for God. Hey, they failed to reach their potential. I want us to see that. You know what? The first thing that they did, and I want you to go in verse 12 of that scripture that I read there earlier to you, and if you want to, you can highlight the word yet, and down in verse 13, underline utterly. Those two words are important. If you want to be all that you want to be for the Lord, you underline them two words. I want you to understand why. Because these two words can keep us from being all that we want to be for God. Amen? They can do it. They were keeping company with the Canaanites. You know what scripture I read to you? That they were keeping company with the Canaanites, and God told them to utterly drive the Canaanites out of the land. Amen? He told them to do that. And you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't. Who are the Canaanites to us? The Canaanites represent to us. They represent the power of Satan, what they represent to us. Do you realize that the Canaanite people were devil worshipers? That's what they were. You know, sometimes we look back in the Bible and we question God. Why did God have to be so cruel back then? There are some people that will do that. Well, you know what? God knew just exactly what He was doing. And I want you to know something this morning. We do not know the mind of God, and we will never know the mind of God, because God knows. Whenever God tells us something, it may sound like it's stupid to us at the time. It may sound like it is something that we don't even, but I want you to know, if God's got a plan, He will take that plan, and that plan is for our benefit. Amen? He told them to drive out. They were devil worshipers. And He told them to utterly drive them out. I believe the land represents the fullness of God, what I believe it represented. And I believe that, you know, with us, whenever the Canaanites may represent what Satan could do, but the fullness of God dwells in each one of us if we're willing to obey Him. Amen? The Canaanites represent the power of Satan. It's what it represented. That can keep me and you from reaching our full potential for God if we do not obey what God wants us to do. You know what? We can't keep company with Canaanites. Do you understand that? And you're going to say, what do you mean by Canaanites? I'll tell you what a Canaanite is. A Canaanite is the sin and the weight that so very easily weighs us down sometimes. You know, over in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compressed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Brothers, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who are making company with Canaanites. Can I say that this morning? Will you agree with me? We keep battling with those things on a daily basis. We keep fighting with them. You know what? We want to be real cozy with them sometimes. Amen? I'm not talking about flat-out sin in our lives. I'm talking about things that may not be considered sin to some people, but I'm talking about things that God has definitely told you to get rid of in your life, and you keep hanging on to them, and you want them around. Amen? Do you know what God's plan for Manasseh was? I want you to know, it was complete victory. It was utterly means completely is what it means. He doesn't want you to do anything halfway. And I tell you, if God's telling you to drive Canaanites out of your life, He wants you to get them out of there. Completely, utterly get them going. The weights and the things that bind us down, if you want to grow, if you want to be all that God wants you to be, get the Canaanites out of your life. Amen. But Dave, you may say, well, is that possible? Is that possible? Yes. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, it is possible. The Canaanites that are still hampering our lives, that will keep us from having victory. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen this morning. You know what? I cannot have no victory. You can have no victory over the things in your life unless it's through Jesus Christ. We can't. Complete victory is what our commander has put charge to us. Amen? Jesus Christ, whenever He saved us, He didn't halfway save you. He saved us to the uttermost. Amen? And I want you to know, if He saved us to the uttermost, those things that are weighing us down and keeping us from growing, He wants us to have complete victory over them. Amen? Complete. Not being satisfied with mediocrity. Are you satisfied with... I guarantee you this morning, if I went to you, and I'll use Greg for an example. Greg, if I went to you and you told your kids you only wanted them to do something halfway right, would that be right? I guarantee you it wouldn't be. If I went to you and asked you about your children, and asked you, do you want to do something just, I want my kids just to be half, I want them to be mediocre. Is there anybody here who wants your kids to be just mediocre? No, you do not. What do you think God wants for us? Amen. What do you think God wants? He wants us not to settle for mediocrity. He wants us to be the best that we can be. You know what? They didn't take God literally, and they didn't take Him seriously, or they would have drove the Canaanites out. And I want you to know something this morning. If you're taking God serious in your life this morning, you're going to drive out the Canaanites that are binding you down. You're going to get them out of your life. Amen? You're going to run them out of there. You see what they did? Manasseh settled down, and you know what? They drove out some of the Canaanites, but they settled down, and they become real comfy with the rest of them right there, right? They did, and there's some of them that couldn't even get out. Me and you are living in a complete victory in the spiritual war that we're fighting. We can have that this morning. We can do that. There's no substitute for victory, folks. There's none. There's no substitute for victory over the devil. There's none whatsoever. You know what? What's a Canaanite? What are they? They're sins or weights in your life that you're trying to tame, that you're trying to compromise with. That's what they are. You know, you think that you can handle them. Manasseh thought the same thing about the Canaanites. You think it's not hurting anybody. But I want you to understand, that's what Manasseh thought. They thought that just having those Canaanites around, it wasn't going to hurt them. It wasn't going to do anything. But lo and behold, when it come time that they needed to grow, they were still there, and God said, I've already told you what to do. You want to grow in the Lord. I want to tell you what. You've got to be able to listen and obey what He says. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not hurting a soul. Listen, there's no one who's ever been a slave. I want you to understand, there's ever been a slave to alcohol, drugs, sex, porn, or anything, or otherwise, has ever first saying that they could handle it. They first started out and they thought, I can handle it. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm the one that can handle it. But if you ever ask anybody that's an addict to any of that stuff, they'll tell you when they first started out, they thought they could handle it. And it ended up getting them, right? It ended up getting them. You know what? I can handle it. I can quit anytime I want to. Have you ever heard somebody say that? That's lost out here in the world? That's been addicted to something? They thought that they could handle it and they could not handle it. And that's just exactly, in verse 13, it says there, and yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxed strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. What they thought, we're strong people, we're strong-willed, we're strong-minded, we're God's people. Hey, we don't have to drive them out like God said. Let's just tax them. Let's just put a tax on them. Let's keep them here. Let's put a tax on them, knowing that they were devil worshippers. God had told them that. They kept them there. They thought that they could handle them. And I want you to know something this morning. There are people out there that say the exact same thing. They thought that they could handle what's going on in their lives. I'll tell you a little story about a family in Texas. They bought a lion cub. This is a real story. And they lived in an apartment complex. They bought this lion cub, and they were going to raise this lion cub to a certain point. And then they thought they could handle it. And then in the meantime, they had a little baby. So they had the baby, they had this lion cub, and they were living in this apartment. So one day the baby was asleep in the pen. The cub had grown, of course, as they would. So the mother walks across the hallway just for a second, because the baby's asleep, the cub's lying down, and she's over in the other apartment across the room with the door open, and they hear this scream. They go back over. Here, that lion cub had chewed off some of the fingers of that baby. True story. They thought that they could tame that wild animal. They thought that they could do that. You know what? Here that kid is walking around. He's grown up now, walking around with no fingers because they thought that they could tame that animal. I want you to know something, brother. There's things in people's lives that they think they can handle, and before they know it, it's going to destroy something. It may even destroy their family if they don't get it under. If they do not drive the Canaanites out of their life. I'm telling you, it may not be something that is considered sin in your eyes, or maybe even in my eyes. But it's something God is dealing with you about, And he wants you to get it out of your life. And if you think you can handle it, if you think that you can do it on your own, I want you to understand something this morning. It could very well turn around and bite you one of these days. Amen? I'll tell you, maybe some companion that God told you to get rid of. You know what Proverbs 13:20 tells? A companion of fools shall be destroyed. God may have told you that you need, young folks, listen to me. I know sometimes I'm standing up here, maybe, and maybe the adults need to hear this too. But there could be somebody in your life that is not good for you, that you're hanging out with. Well, it may be a boyfriend, it may be a girlfriend, I don't know what it may be. And God, you know, God says it's not, you know it's not right. I want you to know, God's telling you, get the Canaanites out of your life. It may be questionable business practice. It may be TV. It may be radio. It may be shows, something on the internet. God's telling you to get it out of your life right now. Get that Canaanite out of there before it turns around and destroys you. And you know what it is. I don't, but God. And you know what? There were Canaanites they feared. Over in verse 16, there's the Canaanites that they favored. There's the ones that they had down there they wanted to hurt. And you know what? And there's Canaanites that they feared over in verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean, her town, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. There may be something back here today that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior. And I want to tell you this right here. You know what? Listen to me. You're sitting back here and you're thinking, there's stuff going on in my life that I just can't overcome it. I can't, you know, it's just too strong. No matter what I've tried and done before, I can't overcome it. Listen to me. That's just what they were saying right here. That's what they were saying. They were saying that the people that God told them to drive out, that they didn't. And I'm going to tell you what, they could have drove them out if they'd wanted to. They could have done that, but they didn't because they feared. They were afraid. They said they were strong people. They had chariots. I want you to know, I don't care. I don't care what's going on in your life. The God that I serve is still able to save to the uttermost. Amen? He is. There's a difference between falling in the mud and wallowing in it. Amen? There is a difference in that. You can fall down in it. You can get yourself up out of there and clean yourself up. But if you just want to lay in it and wallow in it, I want you to know something this morning. You're going to stay there just like the old pig did if you're not careful. You'll stay there. No sin, no matter how powerful it is, no sin can stand against the power of God. Amen? None. I don't care what you think that you can never have control of it. I can never give my life to God. There is nothing so powerful that God cannot take it out of your life. None. If you rely on Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, there has no temptation taken, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. That is for those of you who think that, you know, you may be a Christian right now and the sin is so strong in your life, God always gives you a way out of it. And also for you that are not, that these are lost, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. There is no sin, there is no problem so powerful that God cannot overcome it. If there is, I want to shut this Bible up. I want to come down out of the pulpit, and I want to go home. I told you this before. If I did not believe God could take care of the problems in your life, I want you to know we might as well close up shop and go home because we're serving a dead God. And I want you to know we're not serving a dead God this morning. We're not serving one. I might as well do that. Do not fear those Canaanites. Do not fear them with their chariots of iron in your life. Those sins which they have controlled over you for so long, There are some out there in this world that seem like they can never ever get over drug addiction, never get over alcoholism. But I want you to know, those chariots of iron that the Canaanites have got, they have nothing on the God that we serve. Nothing. Give them to Jesus. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He doesn't do it halfway. Why should we? He abundantly pardons. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I want you to know the devil doesn't like that scripture. He doesn't like it because he knows if that canine lion is in your life and it's bringing you down and not letting you come to Jesus, give it to him this morning. Let him have it. And I'll tell you what. Well, I'll tell you, do you want the last couple of days of 2012 to be great? Do you want 2013 to be great? Do you want the rest of your life to be blessed? Give it to Jesus Christ today. Give it to him. Today's the day to get rid of those Canaanite chariots of iron. Get rid of them. Do you know that you're sitting here this morning and you ought to be able to say in yourself, you ought to be, I thank God there is no unconfessed sins in my life. I want you to, no unrepentant sins in my life. You can say that this morning. I'll tell you what. You ask the people here that had no Jesus as their personal Savior. I want to tell you, there will probably not be, I know there won't be a one of them here that will say it was a bad day in their life the day that they give it to Jesus. No one would ever say that. No one. Because they didn't let the Canaanites with their chariots of arm have any more control over them. No more. They didn't let them. I thank God. I thank God for that. I thank God for Jesus Christ because he's the one that can set you free this morning. Jesus can. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. They have no control over you. None. Praise God this morning because we serve that kind of a God. He didn't just send something halfway down here to try to take care of it. He sent the very best. That's what he said. Praise God. He did not come to save you in your sins, but he came to save you from your sins. You agree with that? Romans 6:22. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We don't have to wallow around in the mud hole of sin no more. Amen? You don't have to do it. You can drive the Canaanites out and get them out of it. There are some listening today that have already entered into Canaan. They have. Some of you already know Jesus as your personal, but they're still keeping company with Canaanites. There's some others here today that cannot get it. They just cannot give it up enough to try to enter into the land of Canaan. They can't do it because the Canaanites with iron, the chariots of iron are holding them back. Listen, Jesus wants all of it. He wants every bit of it. Bring it up and put it this way. There are still two others who have entered in. They fear the Canaanites. They're strong to drive it. We have to clear the clutter out so we can clearly see. Amen? We have to clear it out of there so we can see to clearly drive out the Canaanites from our lives. We've got to do that. What was God in store for us? Let's read verse 18 here. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down. I want you to know something this morning. Trees are great, are they not? Trees are beautiful things. But if you want to build a house, if you want to build a road, if you want to build a building, what do you got to do with those trees? You got to clear them out. I want to tell you something. That's what they were telling these people right here. God was telling them, you've already got what you need. You've got what you need, but you need to clear it off so you can clearly see what you got. I want you to know there's people here this morning. There's people out here in the world. They need to cut down the trees. They need to get the clutter out of their lives so they can see just exactly what God has in store for them. Amen? They just got to do it. Listen to me. Trees, there's nothing wrong with them. But unless you want to expand your spiritual life, unless you want to get bigger, you need to get the clutter cleared out of your life. The Lord's telling you what you're being called to do. If trees are cluttering your spiritual landscape, brother, then you need to tell God there's no room. Don't tell him there's no room for growth in your life. Don't ever say that to God. I'm going to tell you what, because you know what? You've got 24 hours in a day. You've got that. There's room for you to do what God wants you to do if you're wanting to do what God wants you to do. Amen? There is control. You know what? We are controlled by technology instead of it controlling us. Amen? We're serving our toys and our gadgets rather than letting them serve us. And I'll tell you, we do that, do we not? Yes, we do. I don't have time to read my Bible. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I don't have time to pray like I should. I don't have time to witness like I should. Friends, God has given you 24 hours in a day, and we cannot find 1 minute to give God His glory and to do what He wants us to do. We should, folks, you have enough time in every day. Do you want to know why we don't have enough time? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you, you know what? We have failed to clear the clutter out of our lives. We failed. You need more time to chop down those trees, brother. We need to get with God. We need to get the stuff out of our life. Maybe we're watching too much football. Oh. Maybe we're watching too much baseball. Maybe we're hunting too much. Maybe we're fishing too much. Amen? Got awful quiet. Maybe we're shopping too much. I could go on, and I can go on, and I can go on. Some of the stuff I wrote down, and maybe if you want more of God, brother and sister, we need to cut some of the trees out of our life sometimes. 24 hours in a day, how much time do we use it to really serve God the way that we should? The way that, oh, I'm too busy. Listen to me. You're only as busy as you want to be. You're only as busy. You totally obey God and will for your life. 2013 could be a blessing to you. It's not a cursing. It can't even be a curse. It could be a blessing. You know, let them talk about the physical cliff. Let them talk about all that stuff. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let them go off on it. I want to go off on it for Jesus is what I want. How about you? If you're back there and about to know where your personal Savior, come, let us clear out that clutter that's there. If you don't know Him this morning, let God clear it out of your life. Let Him do that. Get rid of all the tree of guilt. Get rid of the tree of hopelessness. Get rid of the tree of pride. Let God cut it down through Jesus Christ. Let Him do it, and you can be what He wants you to be in 2013. Amen? Drive out the Canaanites completely and claim your peace. Claim your peace of the promised land this morning. If you do not know Him, please do that this morning. If you know Him, and you know God is dealing with you this morning about things in your life that need to be chopped down and got out of there, listen to me. Today, do it right now. Get up here, and I'm going to tell you what. Tell me, when I come back here, Lord willing, if He lets me live another year, back here at this church, starting 2014, that your life is not better. Tell me that it's not. Tell me that your spiritual growth is not better. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm done. Praise the Lord. We got to get the Canaanites out. We got to cut the trees down. Get the clutter out of our lives so we can see obedience to God. I'm telling you, if He's telling you this morning to get Canaanites out of your life, get that spiritual stuff that's binding you down out of your life, come, let's do it. You know what He tells us? Come, let us reason together. Does He not say that? He says, come, let us reason. God's not an unreasonable God. But I'll tell you what, we've got to obey what He has for us to do.